Hi, everybody. It's Steve Savitsky once again with Savitsky Talks. And today I have Rabbi Yamin Levy, who's the rabbi of the Beis Hadassah Synagogue in Great Neck / Kings Point, New York, and head of the Long Island Hebrew Academy, and also the founder and director of the Maimonides Heritage Center in Tveria. And Rabbi Yamin has written an article called Just Between Us, A Loss Worthy of Grief, in the edition, the fall edition of 2013 of the Jewish Action. Rabbi Levy, thank you for coming on the program. I appreciate it very much.
My pleasure, and thank you for having me.
No, it's my honor. I read the article. It's very, it's really, really provocative and really, really thought provocative, I meant.
Thank you.
So you wrote a book 15 years ago called Confronting the Loss of a Baby. And obviously, many, many people have read the book, and you wrote that book, unfortunately, after you lost a child.
That's
so
correct.
And what was the reaction, and the reaction today still, to that book?
So thank you for the question. I wrote the book. My wife and I, we were young. We just we were having our second child, and it came out about 5 years after the loss of our baby. There was nothing in the market, in the Jewish market, addressing the issue of the loss of a baby. And we both felt, I certainly experienced just a sense of loneliness and a sense of lack of guidance in terms of halacha, in terms of what's appropriate, in terms of how to respond to the loss. And those around me felt there was just a lack of compass on the issue. I remember my parents and my in-laws grieving, friends, family. And so the book was born out of that experience. The reaction has been really positive. It's been printed a number of times, and unfortunately it gets sought after too many times. It's still the only book out there that addresses this issue. Our, my good friends, Rabbi Jeff Sachs and Dr. Joel Wolowolski,
yes,
came out with a beautiful collection,
yes,
anthology of articles and essays that address this issue. And similarly, Rabbi Sachs, initiated this project out of his own personal experience. And so these are really positive things coming out.
I actually interviewed him for
I listened to the interview with,
right,
Rabbi Sachs, and
right,
it was a wonderful,
right,
interview.
Right.
He referenced my book during your interview.
Yes,
which was
right. I interviewed him. That book just came out very recently.
Correct.
And
correct. I'll tell you a little anecdote. The,
sure,
essay,
please,
that's appearing in the Jewish Action magazine, I wrote for his book, but they felt it wasn't, in the spirit of what they wanted. They wanted more reflective essays,
mm-hmm,
and mine, as you know, you read the article,
mm-hmm,
and it'll come out, God willing, to your readers in the fall, really addresses the issue in the Orthodox community that, you know, we haven't really educated our,
yes,
our young rabbis and our clergy and our communities to address this issue in a way that the rest of the world is addressing it.
Okay, so that's a good segue. I mean, that, you know, you mentioned that in the article, and,
right,
and you talk about the fact that, I mean, we, particularly, let's say, within the Orthodox Jewish world, there's very little that we don't have some guidance with. I mean,
right,
everything from, you know, waking up in the morning to going to sleep at night, and
right,
what we eat and what we do,
right,
and what we wear and how we behave. I mean, you know,
right,
it's an all-encompassing religion. And yet, when it comes to an issue like this, and you say, unfortunately, if a child passes away before 30 days,
right,
then the child doesn't, let's make sure we have it right, the child doesn't have a name, and the child, you don't say Kaddish for the child. What are the halachas about?
So, the halacha doesn't speak about not giving a name or not saying Kaddish. In my book, I suggest that if a parent is comfortable with doing that, then, you know, there's nothing halakhically wrong with saying a voluntary Kaddish for one who passes away. But the halakha, you can't you don't sit Shiva because, you know, Shiva involves certain restrictions that you can't permit yourself to do. Like an Avil doesn't learn Torah.
Right.
So you can't be a voluntary mourner and not learn Torah. We have a chiyuv to learn Torah every single day. So there's no Shiva for a child that dies within 30 days. But the issue that I address is not so much, or my concern with the community is not so much the halachic parameters. It's more of a sensitivity, an awareness to the issue. 20, 30 years ago, when my baby died, when our daughter died, it was just the beginning of the world of psychology saying, you know, maybe a parent should hold the baby. Maybe we should save the footprints of the baby. Maybe we should save mementos of the baby so that the life of the baby is recognized and acknowledged. And that has been very healing and has proven to be very helpful to families going through this process, where a mother can go back and look at these mementos and say, I did have a life in my belly, and it was real, and it existed, and we gave the child a name, and it was a part of our family, even though it was for a very short time. The old school thinking was, forget about it. It didn't happen. Just got to get on with life. You'll have more children. And unfortunately, in some circles, not in all, but in some circles of the Orthodox community, we're still hearing that. I'm not sure I mentioned it in this article, but in a recent presentation I made, I was invited to a conference a few years ago that was about this issue. And it was a conference sponsored by the Conservative Reform Movement. And we had a very poor representation of the Orthodox community
right.
at that conference. And it was a little disheartening. I don't mean to be bashing any at all. You know, we have so many issues. But I just, you know, my hope is we'll make this one, an important one as well.
So what do you think we should do? So, you know, let's try to, you know, give some substance to it. So what do you think should be done formally and informally to deal with this?
Hopefully more people will come forward and write articles, write personal, reflective, stories and experiences about the loss, about the nature of the grief. I think the most poignant voice is the personal voice when mothers and fathers and grandparents and siblings and, you know, I mention in my article students when I was a Rebbe at the Yeshiva Day
right.
School when we lost our baby. And, you know, there's a life that came into this world that had a very short existence, but it's a real life, and it's a life that touched and impacted, you know, a small circle of people, but a circle of people. So, you know, not needing to sweep it under the rug, but really putting it out there. In our rabbinical schools, I've been invited to Yeshiva University to speak to Smicha students on the issue, and I'm grateful for that, and the students are very grateful for that. And to this day, I get letters from students who heard me speak at the supplementary rabbinics programs at YU, and they say, I remember your session, your seminar, and, I was prepared for the situation. More smicha programs should have, give attention to this issue. We certainly give shiurim and aveilut, and they're all in the better rabbinical schools is complemented by psychologists and therapists who give the psychology perspective. We should also address this issue.
So you think there's a lack of understanding or sensitivity? I mean, that you kind of talk about in the article, saying that you feel that the religious leaders don't fully understand, you say, the nature of the grief.
Right.
And have not yet learned how to respond appropriately. So what's the way, how should they respond?
Right. So, I say this respectfully. I'm not blaming, chas v'shalom.
grimacing.
It's an aberration of life. Children are supposed to live, not die. It's so, I don't say this in a negative way or an aggressive way at all. I just say that those of us that have experienced this loss, it's a real loss. It's a profound loss. It's, when I look at my children and I see a 5-year gap between the eldest and the next, there is a nechama in between there, you know, who would be 23 years old right now. And that's a loss that doesn't go away. So just, you know, just raising the level of sensitivity, of awareness, that this is a life experience that needs to be addressed. And so I would like to see rabbis and clergy and social workers and community, you know, those who are involved in the chesed committees of communities, to respond as if they were responding to a loss of life that lived many, many years. A mom who comes home and just lost a baby also needs meals prepared for her. She wants the company of people who come and talk about the loss, talk about her physical ailments right now. You know, there's something that's been documented in scientific journals, aching arms. You know, when you have a baby and you expect to hold a baby, it's like something was, and it's not there. It's like something was amputated from your body. It's a very, and I've heard from countless women about this experience. And communities just being aware of that, coming and visiting and sitting with them, even though it's not a formal Shiva, but recognizing that, you know, the couple, the family's going through a grief process. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. But you also talk about a, you know, spiritual outlet for the grief. So, okay, when you're saying Kaddish, there's a spiritual outlet.
It's not for everybody, but for some people that's worked. You know, I don't want to, I'm not saying this is a recipe for all. I've suggested to some families to take Mizmor Kufiyut Tet of Tehillim and pick the letters. Kufiyut Tet has the entire Hebrew alphabet. And pick the letters of the first name of the baby and recite those Tehillim. You know, for a period of time, and couples have come back and said it's just been so healing. It's just responding spiritually to the grief. And
how do you answer the question to, which I'm sure is a question that is always asked? What did the baby die? What's the reason that God could possibly take a baby, innocent as can be, and the baby leaves this world. You know, I'm sure you've been asked the question. I'm sure you've given many different answers. So, give me just one brief answer that maybe people listening to the program could understand.
So, I'm going to respectfully say that's a tough question. It's a question that's really personal and comes. And it's asked in so many different ways, what I try to avoid is answers that feel trite. I'm not one for giving those feel good answers. Generally, what I say is life is complicated. I'm not a philosopher, but life is complicated and life is difficult, and there is loss and there is tragedy, and we have to be stronger from these experiences. That's what I say. I'm sorry. If you're looking for of them out there. It's just
I know you asked the. I know you're being asked these questions, and so. I try to be present
when couples come to see me, when families come to see me. Sometimes they come with with the grandparents, you know, with the parents of the couples. And, you know, it's just sharing together. I try to hear them. I try to listen to them. I try to affirm their experience and that they had a life that they brought into this world and make it real for them. And I feel that's b'derech haTorah, and I feel that that's healing and healthy. And I've only gotten positive response from it. It creates a link and a connection to these families that we share together. And really, at this stage, it's been so many years, it's in the hundreds of couples around the world that I've connected to through this experience.
No, it's really, so from a halachic point of view, I mean, you could say kaddish if you want, can't you?
Yes, of course. Right. And there are many
I footnote them
in my book. There are tshuvot that address this issue, and I footnote them in my book.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely, you can. Like I said earlier, it's not right for everybody, you know, and saying kaddish is a serious commitment that people have to make, and but it works for some.
Why do you think, by the way, that for some reason in the non-observant sectors or some of the other streams, they've, you know, taken to this much more so than in the Orthodox world?
I don't have a good answer to that question, but I will tell you this, that the non-observant sector evolved in this issue. When I first was doing research, it's interesting to note, I got resistance from the conservative reform clergy on this, because those were years where the questions of abortion, this, that, and legitimizing abortion, and so they seemed to have an affinity to this halacha that a baby shouldn't be mourned. It's interesting how the conversation. Yeah, I remember some of the conversations I had with some of the rabbis from the more liberal denominations. But as this issue has become much more addressed in the secular world, the liberal movements, you know, picked up on it and have introduced it into their pastoral work. Why has the Orthodox community not fully embraced it?
Right.
I think we certainly in the Haredi circles, and I hear a lot from, you know, Haredi families, that, you know, they rather address these issues internally and they don't go to the outside world for these kinds of answers, and so they just haven't made that an issue for themselves.
Well, listen, I think Rabbi Yamin, Rabbi Yamin Levy, who's here with me, I think that the article is it's a really, really, really moving article, and I think in a way, you know, when you talk about how it affects somebody, you could almost feel, and you feel it by reading the article, but when certainly people are going to listen to this interview, they could see that the pain doesn't go away.
Right.
And when you see that something which happened over 20 years ago,
right,
could feel as relevant today, and you could still feel, you know, the suffering, then you know that it's an issue. And I think maybe that is going to be something that's going to come out, because I don't know if you get it from the article, you feel it, but you certainly feel it when we have this conversation.
That's so nice. Thank you.
I think that I'm really honored that we've been able to have this conversation.
Thank you.
So anyway, look forward to it. All the people who are out there, they'll be reading the article.
Much.
Just between us, A Loss Worthy of Grief by Rabbi Yamin Levy. And thank you for coming on the program. I appreciate it.
My
very
pleasure.
Very much.
Thank you very much, Colton.
Be well.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.